All right. I'm feeling that this slide is way too stodgy and corporate, so let's go ahead and update that. And welcome to the final session of Build! Now, this session is going to be completely unlike anything else that you've seen at the rest of the show, and that's on purpose. It's kind of a palate cleanser. What we wanted to do was be able to send you away not just with all of the amazing technical skills we've been sharing all week, but ways to build that into an amazing and epic life and career. And the way we organize it, it's a very curious format. It's very driven by time. We have six presenters who will be speaking for precisely 5 minutes. They have 20 slides that will auto-advance every 15 seconds. Oh, I'm not kidding. And that's on purpose, right? What we're trying to get at is just that one little nugget of goodness that can relate to everyone. And that's also why we have so many presenters up here. It's really funny. We've been doing this session at various conferences for the past several years. And every single time, you'll go through and read the comments. Oh, presenter number two was just total pants. It was terrible. Nothing, I got nothing out of there. Presenter number four was awesome. And you read the next one. Presenter number four was the best. I don't know why presenter number two was there. Right? You are charting your own path. So find the nuggets that work for you and ignore the rest. That's why there's so much up here, right? So we're going to take you on this journey and have a lot of fun. Now, rather than giving this assignment to other people, I myself am also going to do a talk, but I can't very well introduce myself. So I need someone from the audience to come up and introduce me. So can I get a volunteer from the audience to come up on stage? If you want to be awesome, just walk up here. Walk up. Just stick your hand. Come on up. All right. Thank you, sir. You, sir, are incredibly awesome. I can tell already.
There you go. Thank you. How are you guys doing at Build?
Now, just make up stuff about me. Introduce me.
First, what was your name, sir?
Chris Jackson.
I'd like you all to put your hands together for Chris Jackson, one of the all-time amazing, great guitarists. And the only man to walk up the side of the Eiffel Tower.
All right. So think big. And what we want to talk about today is going about the process of setting big, fat, hairy, audacious goals. And I actually put that on my annual review, setting big goals. But to set those big goals, it's important to think about what is personally meaningful to you. What defines success? Do you follow Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous's definition of success? Have lots of property on the beat side and things like that? You've got to figure out your currency. My currency? I crave epic experiences, right? And in particular, I like to invest in my kids' memories. So this is my daughter. So far, I have been able to take her to Ireland, Hong Kong, Australia, New Zealand, Tahiti, Japan, and Hawaii. So I want to carve out a life that allows me to share that with my kids. That's important to me. Now, I have to confess, I'm not always completely selfless in my experiences. I also like to drive really fast, and I thought, hey, I'd like to be able to drive my Ferrari at Road America. Check. Find your currency, right? What personally is meaningful to you? And then stop thinking about success as something for somebody else, that they're somehow different or special, right? You need to know that you're going to be successful. Because what I found is that the biggest predictor of success is that people just think bigger. Champions think bigger than average people, consistently. Because if you think about it, you seldom accomplish more than you set out to do. Don't play it too safe, right? If you are consistently achieving what you set out to do, your goals probably weren't high enough. Failure is okay. Shooting for the moon and coming really close is really better than shooting for a foot high. I remember when I was 15 years old, I was working in a cannery making $3.35 an hour, and my shoot for the moon goal was, someday I'm going to make $10. Dollars an hour. Check. Too many people end up having these incredible abilities, but humble goals that they reliably achieve. They keep reaching their goals. So how do you turn that around? What is the formula of the people that I've seen? Well, the first thing that I like to do, it's a technique that works for me, at the beginning of every year, I write down my award nomination for that year. Because if you've done something really epic, you're going to deserve an award. You may as well have the nomination already ready to go. Then you journal your progress. I do it once a week. That's what I personally need to make sure I'm focused on my goal, that I'm not getting sidetracked, that I'm continuing to go forward, or I'm deliberately altering my goal as I go along so that I'm keeping myself in check and keeping myself honest. Now, I choose a year because, you know, 5, 10 years, too far out. The greatest careers that I know of seem like a series of accidents. Veering left and right and changing. A year is a good time frame for me. And on the way, bring the right people on your journey. One of my favorite quotes from Tim Ferriss is that you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. So clearly I am Def Leppard. But Benjamin Franklin talked a lot about how he would work with people and be honest. He used to submit anonymous articles to his brother to get published. His brother was the one that profited, but he was investing. He was investing in his brother and himself. He was building skills. He was willing to step backwards in order to take multiple steps forward. He was willing to do without the credit and give other people the glory. Going backwards isn't always an indignity if you get to grow. And he thought about the consistent benefit of making other people look good. Think about it. What would happen in your life if every person you met, you found a way to help them? I've found that about 10% of those that I help out will return the favor. 10% of those will return the favor in a way that vastly exceeds my own investment. I always come out ahead when I invest in other people. And then on the way, for God's sake, enjoy it. This scene was in Santiago, Chile, and I saw all these people lining up and taking selfies against the background. They never even turned around. They were focused on achieving the goal of selfie captured and not enjoying this amazing view. So set super high goals, track them, keep yourself honest, and enjoy the journey, and you'll be on your way to having an amazing life. Thank you very much. So now I'm going back to being the MC person. So our next presenter is Lorraine Bardeen, and I'll tell the story of how I found her. I'd reached out to my friend Laura Butler, who's the CVP for OneNote, and she's traveling a lot right now. So she's like, listen, the handle on my dishwasher has been broken for 5 months. I don't have time to come and give a talk. I'm like, do you have any recommendations? And she literally wrote 3 words, Lorraine Bardeen, colon, awesome sauce. And I'm like, all right, it seems like a pretty good recommendation. Looked her up in the gal, and there's this amazing picture of her with this wicked cool hat. And I'm like, nah, I'm in. I'm sold, right? So lesson learned, advertise yourself well as you go. So with no further ado, Lorraine Bardeen.
Okay, it wasn't a hat, it was a bird in my head. Okay, so I've always been a really late bloomer. This is a picture of me in 5th grade. This is what I thought was the epitome of cool then. I never got other kids, and I showed up with frogs on my sweatshirt every day. I've always been a late bloomer. But I've also always been incredibly impatient, and I've had a really hard time keeping focused. I'm impatient and bored, and it's been a challenge for me with work. So all throughout my childhood, I was asked to leave things that take patience, like ballet. I got kicked out of yoga when I was in my 20s. They said, you're not acceptable in this yoga class, you need more patience. But you know what? Work always made sense to me. You work hard, you get paid. Provide value, get paid. It's simple, and it made sense. So I've been working for my whole life. I started working when I was about 11. I conned my way into an under-the-table job. We don't need to talk any more about that right now. I had 8 jobs at a time in college so I could weave them in between every class because, again, work just made sense to me. It was a perfect antidote to my impatience and to getting bored quickly. And when you work hard, you do get a lot of opportunities. And that would have been fine, but I would have found that there was something missing. Like, caring. I would have realized at the end of my career that I really missed something out of my career. And so I started to feel this gap. So I'm going to tell you how to find a job and be happy with it. Step one, happy brain. So this is where I started my career. I started Microsoft as my second company, and it became clear to me I would never be bored at this company. It's like endless stream of challenging problems and like initiatives and PowerPoints to be created. And during that time, I also made two human beings. That keeps you busy too. I just kept occupied and happy, happy, happy brain. Then one day, my boss poked his head into my office after these 7 years, and he said, hey, could you take a job leading this team in Europe? And like, I'd never been there, and I'd never done anything remotely related to the job. So I was like, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. So it takes courage to take on these new challenges. You gotta do it. It'll keep you tested and keep your brain happy. But within weeks of being on my new job, something became really clear. The decisions I was making every day were different than making PowerPoint decks. In fact, they had daily impact on real people and their real lives. One time, a Microsoft business partner whose livelihood depended on the tech decisions we made pulled from his wallet this wrinkled picture of his family, and he said, I have to go home and tell them that I can't make a living next month. And that was just a moment for me, like, it was a moment that I need in everything I do now. I need to know that what I do has a real impact on real people's lives. So step two, for me, feel it in your gut. Keep that brain happy, but feel it in your gut. Feel connected to what you're doing. And I realized I never again wanted a job where I wouldn't feel the loss experienced by one of our customers like a real punch in my gut. So then, when I was ready to move back to headquarters, I knew I needed the brain and the gut components to be happy. But then I thought, what about if I had something that made my heart happy? So this is the first time in my life it had really occurred to me to merge all my personal energy with my professional energy. It's the first time it occurred to me, and this is like decades after I started working. But once that thought occurred to me, it was irrepressible. It made my job planning so much harder. I had to find a job that would keep my brain happy, feel it in my gut, and then also fill my heart somehow. And that was tricky. So brain is really, really easy at Microsoft. There is plenty of demanding work to keep things going anywhere in tech. And gut, I knew that I could look for roles that put me close to customers and the impact that we have on them. But how was I going to find a job that filled up my heart? That's hard, because it's about believing. So to find something I could believe in at the company, I knew I would need to call on these human connections I'd made throughout my life. Networks matter. I asked everyone I knew, who are the most compelling people at Microsoft? Believing in something's about values. And people, compelling people really rarely work on things that they don't care about. That's a spoiler alert. Find those compelling people and they can explain to you what matters to them. So what I did was I seek them out. I would show up with my personal values and I would just listen and just sort of feel, do I feel connected to what they're doing? And I followed this trail until I found a place where I felt emotionally connected to the work and to the people I worked with. And sometimes it's a surprise what that ends up being. I did not know it would be holograms, right? I had no idea. But that emotional connection for me was about computing from our point of view, from people's point of view, and that's where I started to fill my heart. So I wouldn't have predicted that, but you have to be open to surprises throughout this path. If you're looking for something that's going to fill your heart, be open and listen to the people you're talking to. So in summary, feed your brain with challenging problems, feel it in your gut and care deeply for your customers. Keep your heart full by believing in the work you do and the people you do with it. And always seek out compelling people. It's the only way to amplify your awesome and inspire others as they set out on their own journeys. Thank you.
That was amazing. All right, so our next presenter, Raymond Chen, who's been working on the Shell team since 1993, is that? We'll call it 2000. Since some of you were in elementary school. And he's always been a really good blogger, such a good blogger that he actually made a book out of his blog that clearly didn't sell enough copies that he could retire since he's still here. But it's always been the source of incredible connection between Microsoft and its customers. And one day, he made the mistake of describing how he got invited to a conference. He said, the way to get me to speak at your conference is to invite him. I'm like, aha! Dear Raymond, come and speak at my conference. And he's come and spoken several times before. I'm happy to have him back again to talk specifically about how he communicates with all of our customers and gets a great two-way conversation through his blog, Mr. Raymond Chen.
Hi, everybody. I'm Raymond Chen, and I'm the world's worst Bill Gates impersonator. So when I come to these talks, these wonderful, uplifting talks, I'm an engineer. I like to walk away with specific action items. I'm not interested in action items that just say, go out and keep doing awesome stuff. So these are specific action items on how to become an awesome blogger. But wait, social media experts, or so-called social media experts, fake social media, social media experts say that blogging is dead. Nobody's interested in blogs. Nobody wants to read these long things. People want to go onto Twitter or What's Face or InstaChat or whatever it's called, and they want to read their three sentences of, you know, get their endorphin hit, and then go back and watch cat videos all day. So why do you care about blogs? Nobody reads blogs. But blogs are good because blogs allow you to control your story. They allow you to control how your story unfolds. You can control the pace of your story. Whereas, you know, Reddit, the articles are all ordered by how people vote on them. On Facebook, everything's ordered by what Facebook thinks will make them the most money today. On a blog, you control the order in which the pieces come out and how you put them together. It's important when you have a blog that you actually sound like a human being. This sounds obvious, but it's hard. You don't want to write like a public relations document. You need to have a personality. It's okay if you don't have a personality, because you can always make one up. There are a good number of blogs, like Scripting Guy, newsflash, Scripting Guy, not a real guy. When you write the blog, you want to actually have a personality. It can be a fake one, but your personality should have a point of view. You want to, don't be afraid to use the first person pronoun, talk about how you felt about something, you want to say how you respond to something. So the scientific research has shown that intermittent reward leads laboratory animals to insanity. What this means for blogging is that when people come to your website, come to your blog, you don't want it to be they push the button and sometimes a blog article pellet comes out. You want to set yourself sort of an informal schedule. You don't have to come out every day like the New York Times crossword. You might decide that, I'll have something on Tuesdays and Thursdays or once a week. But it solves the problem of people coming to your blog, not seeing something, and then getting disillusioned and never coming back. Our pal, Chris Jackson, has a blog. He called it The App Compact Guy, which is great. It's a great name for his blog, as long as he continues working in App Compact. Once he decides he wants to switch jobs into finance, this blog title is going to be a little dodgy. So this is just something to think about when you choose the name for your blog. The other thing you, of course, have to worry about with your blog is what am I going to write? It's simple. Find something you're passionate about. Find something you know something about. And you don't even have to know something about it. You can find something you're passionate about and steal things. Your company, I'm sure, has a knowledge base. There are solutions to problems in the knowledge base. Your company, I'm sure, has a discussion list where people come up and ask their questions and get answers. You can steal those answers. You can look smart without being smart. Now, when you have a blog, people will know what company you work for. It's probably best that you disclose it. They will find out one way or another. This means that anything you write, you are officially, unofficially, a company spokesperson. There are articles written based on a blog article I wrote about a video game in the, you know, some ancient Apple II game. It says, Microsoft highlights this ancient Apple II game. So you have to be careful how you present yourself, make sure that you are not speaking for the company. Another thing that I do is I wordsmith the daylights out of my blog titles. Stanley Kubrick went through many titles before he settled on 2001 A Space Odyssey. I try to get a right balance between intrigue and clickbait. You want the intrigue to get people in, you want the clickbait so that way when you show up in a search engine, people will come in, find your blog, keep visiting it. They'll, you know, assuming that every time they push the pellet, they push the lever, a pellet comes out. And finally, the obligatory have fun slide. I have this running gag on my blog that I don't understand how television works, and that I think every television show is nonfiction. And so whenever there's a computer on TV, I dive in and show how it highlighted, for example, this amazing way to hide your IP address in an email message. So those are my tips on how to become an awesome blogger. If you use them, if you remember them, because I'm sure all this other great stuff will, you know, totally fill your brain with awesomeness. And maybe you can pick up one or two of these and make your own blog more awesome too. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Raymond. All right, so we actually have never done this talk at a public conference before. And, you know, when Alistair Spears is the guy who came up with the idea, he's like, we have to do this at Build. Like, this is super, super important. Like, this audience, I think they're going to really appreciate and get a lot of value from it. And he's like, so we should do this session with Jennifer Marsman. And we should, and I'm like, well, who? He's like, we have to do the session with Jennifer Marsman. Then, of course, I had to do my homework because clearly I've been living in a cave, figure out who it was. I'm like, oh, wow, how did I miss that? Because that happens, and I'm not very smart. But nonetheless, I am thrilled to hear Jennifer's perspective on how she makes herself personally amazingly awesome. 5 tips based on popular songs. Jennifer?
All right, so I'm going to share 5 tips, but due to copyright, I'm going to have to make you guess them because I can't play them. So first one, any guesses? Hopefully you got it. Yes, very good. 10 points to Gryffindor. Let's give them something to talk about. All right, that is the first one. So what I mean by this is half of your job is doing amazing things and half of it is remembering to communicate. I work on a distributed team, but this is important for anyone, but especially remote employees. And so when you think about an org chart, my manager's manager, my grandpa or grandma on the org chart, comes to my manager and says, you know, what has your team been up to? I want to make sure my manager has stories to tell about me that, oh, you know, last week Jennifer was doing this and that. And so there's a lot of ways to accomplish this. You can do summary emails, one-on-ones, trip reports, but just remember to tell your story. Then, song number 2. Any guesses on this one? Yell it out. Luck Be a Lady. Very good. Excellent song. Frank Sinatra. So, what I mean by this one is at a Women in Tech conference a few years back, someone said, success equals hard work plus intelligence plus luck. And you guys, this made me furious. Okay? So as a typical type A person, I was like, if I am smart and I work hard, then I should be successful. What was this random variable being thrown in there, right? Like, no, it just doesn't make sense. But over time, I have learned it is so true. So take, for example, I worked in public speaking for a long time on behalf of Microsoft, and I had these 2 teammates. And let's assume that my teammates are equally smart and work equally hard. Well, one of them ended up doing a lot of work around a Microsoft product that did really well. So he was getting book requests, requests to speak all over the world, you know, book deals, all this stuff. And then another guy, his career didn't take off as much because his Microsoft product wasn't quite as successful. All right, next one. Song number 3, Wind Beneath My... Very good. You guys know your stuff. So what I mean by this one is the importance of role models and mentors. And the way I distinguish between those two are mentors are someone I have a personal relationship with that I can ask for advice. And role models are people that inspire me from afar and that I stalk at conferences and take pictures with me because they're awesome. So remember, you don't have to have just one mentor. I actually choose mentors based on something that they are really good at and that I want to learn from them. So I have one mentor for blogging. I have a different mentor for work-life balance, all these different things. And I challenge all of you, at some point in your life, either blog or speak. Because in that way, you are being a role model in turn for the next generation and inspiring those that can relate to you personally. All right, the next one. Something on me. Yes. Oh, yeah. Lean on me. Yes, that is a famous tower in Pisa. So what I mean by this is the importance of having a support system. You need a support system. And so someone once showed me this triangle, and at any given time, with time, health, and money, pick two out of the three, right? Because when you're young, you're just out of college, you have time and you have health, but you may not have money yet. And then mid-career, you have money and health, but you have absolutely no freaking time. And then when you're old, you may retire, and then you have time again and money, but your health may be starting to go. So for me, I am not middle-aged. I am still in my 30s, and I will cut you if you suggest otherwise. But I do relate to the mid thing. And so I will trade time for money. I will buy the super expensive salad in a bag instead of like doing and chopping everything individually, because that is a trade-off of time for money. So optimize for the variable you don't have. All right, and then the final, song number five, Don't Stop. Nice, wow. And that was free clip art, can you believe it? That gem? Yeah, so let me tell you the silver light story to go with this. This is about don't stop believing in yourself. Imposter syndrome is a real thing. So I had, a while back, a teammate and I were going to give a series of tech talks at a large corporation. And we were splitting up the talks. And Silverlight had just launched. And we were trying to figure out who should present it. And I had seen the launch announcement, and I had downloaded that sample airplane demo and stuff and played with it, but I hadn't written any code of myself yet. And one of my teammates was like, oh, I totally know Silverlight. I'll do it. So fast forward to the demo. It was horrible. He did a demo for like marketing deck, and it was no demo, and there's like, that's a presentation layer technology, so you need to show it. And it turns out he had just seen the announcement, and from that, felt qualified to, you know, give the demo. So in that one particular instance, I actually had more knowledge than him, but was able to do that. So the point there is you are more awesome than you think you are. So go out and rock it. Thank you.
All right. I got to say, I was doing my homework because, again, I did have to hang my head in shame. I didn't know who she was. I knew. I've seen her presentations recorded live. Holy crap, that was amazing. Another round of applause. That was amazing. And on to our next impressive person, because we seem to be streaming them all right along. I remember the first time I saw him talk. It was actually at a customer presentation in the EBC. He walks in the room, and then suddenly the room was just full of this hushed awe. And he owned the room from the moment he walked in. If you've ever seen something like just the charisma just eked out of him. So I am, of course, when I'm putting together this assembly, and I'm like, I've got to see, I've never met this person, right? But I have to have him because he's amazing. Mr. Donovan Brown.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let's try that again. Good afternoon, everyone. Ah, perfect. We're going to talk about public speaking and how you have to make sure that you engage your customers. Step number one, find something that you are passionate about, something that just makes the hair on your arm stand up, that thing that you're thinking about when you fall asleep. Because when you start talking about that on stage, it just oozes into everyone that you're talking to. They're all just going to lean in, but you got to be passionate. The next thing you have to do is over-prepare. Perfection is almost good enough. You have to invest in your audience because they are investing in you. You do not have to be giving me this time, but you are. So I go and I prepare to make sure that you get the best experience from me ever. You can never prepare too much. I say these words so often that I am sick of the sound of my own voice. But when I say them to you, they should sound great. The next thing that you need to do is surround yourself with great people. You are the company that you keep. They help you get better. If you want to be a great speaker, you surround yourself with great speakers. When it is your turn, you be the person that other speakers can surround themselves with to bring them to the next level. Not only professionally, but also personally. My wife, my parents, or why I am standing here talking to you right now. Do not let people that are toxic stay around you. You have to make sure that you surround yourself with great, great people. When you are on this stage, it is your stage. You own this area. You are inviting them in, and you just enjoy every moment of it. Do not hide behind this podium. Use the entire stage to engage them and bring them into your world and make them have an amazing opportunity and time to share this moment with you. That is your stage. Enjoy it and let the audience enjoy it with you. The next thing you have to do is be grateful. This man has had a huge impact on my career, as have others. And I take moments to say thank you to them. They did not have to invest in me. They did not have to take that risk on me. They did not have to open the doors for me. My wife, here on our anniversary so that I can be speaking to you, I have to thank her for that. The best advice I can give anyone is you have to build a brand. That brand is going to be something that your audience can attach to. They can point at. Some are going to love it, and others are going to hate it. But that brand is what they're going to remember. So it doesn't matter why they're talking about it. Let them talk about it. It might be a hashtag. It might be a team. It might be a clothing article that you wear. It might be rubbing a little DevOps on it and making it better, which pisses a lot of people off. But they talk about it, right? So that's really important. And as all the speakers before me have already done, and I'm sure the speaker after me will do, you are an entertainer. Pretend that you are going on Broadway. Rehearse just as importantly. Make sure that you do more than just educate me. I could read the docs and click through it. You got to do more than that. You have to entertain me. Raise the level. Their asses are cramping after 2 hours. Right? Get out there and entertain those people and make sure that they have something to remember more than just a tech that you showed them. And the other thing you have to do is never give up. I have email after email of me being rejected when I submit it to conferences. Do not let those rejections stop you. Don't let the negative words of people think that you're never going to be good enough stop you. Just keep on driving, because now I am invited to keynote that same conference that wouldn't have me years ago. Never give up. And the last thing I want you to do is to be ready, because the opportunities are going to knock. And when they knock, the only answer that you can say is, I'm ready. So think about where you want to be, what keynotes you want to give. I practice my name so much that when I get a promotion, I get upset because I got to practice my name again, right? But you got to be ready, because that's how I got on the stage for the very first time. An opportunity presented itself, and I took it because I was ready for it. Do not wait for the opportunity, then start preparing for it. Already be setting up your intro, your outro. Introduce yourself. Do it in the mirror. Do it in the shower. But you have to be ready. And the most important thing is enjoy every single minute. I am honored and privileged that Microsoft gives me the opportunity to not only represent myself, but to represent this company. I represent the hard work of all the men and women who write that software. So take a moment and look up at 18,000 people that you're about to get to speak to on behalf of Microsoft and just soak it in for a second and then just enjoy it, because you've earned the right to do that. Thank you so much, everyone.
You see what I mean? So our final presenter, that's an interesting story. I remember the very first time that I saw her speak. And I remember it really, really vividly, because I saw her up on that stage and I'm like, wow, she is so much smarter and more articulate than me. She should be on a big stage. She's amazing. And I was very flattered to find out that she thought exactly the same thing of me. She thought, wow, I am so much smarter and articulate than him. I should be on the big stage. And since that time, we've had lots of opportunities to present together. It is my privilege to introduce you to Miss Jessica Payne to talk about how to be great at failing.
Of life. this is how life was going to go for me. I started college at 14. I thought I'd be a successful dancer. Maybe I'd graduate, become some sort of forensic pathologist, and then maybe become Carmen Sandiego. But what really happened is I started college at 14. I got really, really sick and I failed. And then I kind of like had a bad point in my life. But then I got back and I got a job at Carnegie Mellon, went to school, and then left to go get a high-paying job at a law firm, where I was promptly fired for being a jerk. But now I work at Microsoft, and maybe things are on the up and up again. But we always have to keep an eye out, because failure can happen again. So let's think about incident response. I'm a security person. So in an ideal world, incident response would be you have one simple step to compromise, and then you have one simple step to fixing everything, which isn't true, because if you do that, you'll be doomed to repeat your failure. So let's talk about failure. First, we have to admit that a failure occurred. We have to admit it happened. But we want to make sure that we don't beat ourselves up over it, because we don't want to treat ourselves like a garbage human and make ourselves more likely to fail. We have to admit it happened, though. Because that lets us go to step two, which is to determine what parts of that were under your control. Because failure is not a sudden hit and run. Stuff led up to it that you can control. So let's talk about one of my failures, besides getting fired. We're going to talk about when I presented at a conference. Because one time I presented at a conference, and I presented on demystifying the Windows firewall. And I presented this because no one else had ever presented on it, and it really needed to be done because nobody on the planet understands this. Well, let me tell you a little bit about this presentation, because this presentation was what I would call an epic failure. There were lots of things that went wrong. I delivered it at something approaching 4x speed, kind of like I'm doing right now. The presentation style was bad, there were too many inside jokes, and one guy in the audience did not like my dress. Okay. But let's admit the failure occurred. Step one is done. What parts were under my control? Well, I could fix all of those things. I can fix it so I don't talk as quickly. I could do better examples. I could have more clarity. You know, things like that. But not so much about that guy in the audience who didn't like my dress. That's out of my control. Pick your battles. This is important. Know what hill you're willing to die on, as they say in cliche speak. There are things that you can fix and things that you can't. Don't put yourself in a situation where everything is out of your control and nothing is something that you can fix. And so once you take these things and you learn what was in your control, you come back and you try again. And you do awesome, because this is a freaking awesome talk. And it has helped lots of people, and everyone thanks me for it, and that is the reason that I did it, because it helps people. So you have to have a reason for why you do it again as well. But what's the next step? Build a support team, like everyone else here has said today. I think of this as the pillar versus the web. If you're a pillar of strength, you're a super awesome person and you're way at the top, but you have no foundation. Build yourself a food web so that if one thing goes wrong, your whole life doesn't go wrong. Find friends who sponsor you and friends that help you. Know when to walk away. There are certain things that will never get any better for you, and it is not worth you risking your life and getting into a bad situation where you don't want to be there anymore. Live your life. Know when to walk away. Don't let failure stop you from that. So why was I fired for being a jerk? Let's get back to this. Well, I was in fact a jerk. I didn't recognize red flags of my situations and things like that. People rewarded my bad behavior when it was useful to their own personal needs, and I didn't have a support structure. So what did I learn from being fired? Well, I learned to be less of a jerk, when I can, because you can't always fix everything. But what else did I learn? I learned to understand the warning signs of a bad environment. Don't let it get really, really bad so you get fired. You walk away with heaps more experience, both technical and personal. Build your own criteria for success. Society's criteria for success is not your criteria for success. What means that you're doing well at your life? What means that you are happy with what you have achieved and where you are? Let's talk about today. This is Microsoft and a little org chart pillar. Everyone else you saw here today is where they are. I'm not there. I'm down there, but I'm here. And the last time I did this thing with Jeffrey Snover and Donna Sarkar and all those other people. Have your own criteria for success, because I may not be at the top of the pyramid, but I've got to do things that have helped people and have done what I want to do. And I've made people's lives better, and I've helped them with things that I couldn't have when I was a Microsoft customer. Find your message, get it out there, and determine your own criteria for success. Know whether you're playing chess or checkers. There's strategic and there's tactical moves in your life. Know whether you are fixing an immediate thing just to get away from a bad situation or whether or not you're planning for the rest of your life. Failure happens in big and tiny chunks. Know whether you're playing chess or whether checkers. Keep trying. Do not give up. The life sucks sometimes. Keep living it. Keep doing things. There's always a reason to be here. Never give up. Keep trying. But what else can we do? We can help others, which is what my slide will say in a second. Yes. We need to uplift and amplify other people. Find people who are in a bad situation or someone who needs help. Find someone to bring them into your career. Find someone from a different background with different experience to you to bring to your career. They're going to make you better. Be nice to people. This is important, especially in the age of social media, because when we're mean to people, it has downstream ramifications. But when we're nice to people, it can have downstream ramifications too. This is Nara. She was bullied on the internet. Nara got brought to Build this week, and I gave her my CMU teddy bear because she's going to go to CMU. Be nice. Change somebody's life. Never give up.
All right. Pretty impressive, right? So now that we've filled your head with awesomeness, I need three volunteers to stand up and come down to the front. Three volunteers, right? People who are awesome. Oh, you want to come again? So here's a volunteer, here's another volunteer, here's another volunteer. All right. Because and we introduced this in terms of why we get a diversity of speakers, and I really mean it, right? Everyone has their own unique superpower. And by sharing that with others, we start to see it in ourselves, and we start to give people other hints. So I'd love it if you three could just go through and quickly say, what is your superpower?
Can they hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess my superpower is that I try to find ways to be uncomfortable, like right now.
So he took one of mine. Thank you. Being a father, and me and my coworker went out on a limb, and we're attempting to implement DevOps at the Department of Defense.
Yes.
Which.
I guess I like to volunteer for things like walk up and talk in front of a room full of people, or help, you know, the neighborhood, the town, families.
Do your part in bravery. Love it.
Thank you. Hey, another round of applause. Thanks very much for the bravery to come up here and for sharing. And we do have some time left. Now, to be honest, right, my original plan was to only invite people to come up who also were wearing the same shoes that I'm wearing. And I looked around, and I was shocked to find that no one else is wearing these shoes, right? Because usually people are wearing these. They're on the screen. They're subtle. So any questions that anyone has? We have a panel of folks now, right? Does anyone want some career advice? Anything you're struggling with? Or did we actually give you enough to chew on to go forth and be excellent to each other? All feel good? Well, with that then, we'll close it down. Thank you so much for coming to Build, for coming to the event. We hope we send you away with that one little nugget of awesomeness. Have an amazing party tonight. It's over. Go home. Go. Thank you very much.